Well, it's Friday, and we want to talk about movies, but we want to talk about a specific kind of movie. That would be 3D movies. And I want to remind you of what our trivia question is. You can answer this at our Facebook page. We're asking you, what movie had the most success, 3D movie, had the most successful opening weekend of all time? Give us an answer at facebook.com/thetakeaway. But Avatar, James Cameron's epic, set in 3D, lost out to a whole different kind of 3D movie in Hong Kong last week. It was a 3D soft porn film called 3D Sex and Zen. And these movies are kind of changing the paradigm for the 3D movie. And it's also kind of changing the economics of how one makes a movie. Joining us now is Kristen Meinzer, Takeaway producer, co-host of the Takeaway's Movie Date podcast. And also with us, Megan McArdle, business and economics editor for The Atlantic. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Kristen, when you talk about soft porn, although we're not going to go into any kind of content,
when I talk about soft
we just
porn.
Want to talk about economics. This is still a pretty niche market.
It is, but I mean, I think that people like novelty, and especially with 3D, where we're all suffering from 3D exhaustion and overload, where every movie from Justin Bieber with his bangs to Step Up 3D is all in 3D right now, it's kind of interesting to see a movie that's slightly different. So why not 3D porn?
Interesting or horrifying, Kristen. Either one of those things I think applies. Megan, there is to a certain extent, an economic portion to this, that 3D is relatively expensive technology. And therefore, one has to ask, how much are movie companies actually investing in 3D?
Well, you have to think about this the way you think about the transition to color, first in the movies and then in television. It was much more expensive to make for a whole host of reasons. I mean, not just because of the film stock and the processing, but because you have to light things differently and you have to buy different costumes and so forth. But people did it anyway, and why did they do it? It started off the way it did with, with something like The Wizard of Oz, a Technicolor spectacular, and most things in black and white, and that's basically the progression that we've seen in these movies. But over time, people start to demand color. It becomes a competitive advantage, and slowly everyone starts doing it. And I think that's ultimately what you're going to be seeing in this, is that it's not going to be a competitive advantage. At some point, it's just going to become the competitive minimum.
Well, Kristen, when we talk about numbers, this soft core movie in Hong Kong pulled in $3.2 million in ticket sales. In the United States, that would be a flop.
No, because this is just one city. Think about it that way.
I see.
Hong Kong. So that's pretty good. Imagine one city opening. But I have to say about the money, I would see this movie just for the novelty of it, but I hate spending $22 to see a 3D movie. And that's how much I spent to see Avatar. And I spent $15 to see Toy Story 3D. I spent $15 to see Step Up 3D. This is something that I can't help but wonder if consumers eventually are going to revolt and say, I don't want to spend this much money for a movie ticket.
Well, certainly when I take an entire family of four to a movie, it's too expensive to go see a 3D. It just becomes this incredibly expensive thing. But to the end of what Megan is talking about, are people paying for 3D technology right now at the expense of things like better writing, better... You're laughing, but that's a serious question.
Are you saying Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, isn't well written?
I didn't say that, but I will. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I do think that people are quite taken with this technology to a certain extent, but I also think that, you know, maybe the movies are suffering a little bit, but I understand they want to make their money. James Cameron wants to make his money, so a perfect way to do it is to double the ticket prices and have them in 3D.
Megan, is that how the economy works out? They can double the ticket prices and that means that their profit margin is larger than if it were a non-3D film?
Well, temporarily. I mean, it's actually not just the doubling of ticket prices. It's that you get people to go to the theater. I mean, the problem you have that a lot of movie makers face now is that people say, well, you know what, I don't care enough to go see that in the theater, and it's not just the price, it's the hassle, the parking, et cetera. I'll just wait until it comes out on DVD and watch it at home. Because 3D is really hard right now to replicate at home, the televisions are very expensive, people will go see a movie because they can only do it in 3D in the theaters. And so it's a big driver of both volume and of price. But I don't expect that to last. I think you're going to see more movies in 3D. I think it's quite probable that you may see 3D and 2D options for most movies, but I don't even know that they'll be price separated. They may just be for the people who get kind of sick when they're watching 2D when they're watching 3D movies, which is a small but significant number of the population.
That's Megan McArdle, business and economics editor for The Atlantic, and Kristen Meinzer, Takeaway producer, co-host of the Takeaway's Movie Date podcast, talking about 3D. And to that end, I want to ask you both the trivia question this morning. What was the 3D film that had the most successful, to date, most successful opening weekend? Megan, any guesses?
I'm going to guess that it was randomly like something in the 50s.
Okay. That's
But I don't know.
All right. Kristen?
I'm going to guess Avatar, just because James Cameron always seems to bring in a lot of money.
Avatar was the most successful opening weekend for the 3D film until Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland, most successful opening weekend for a 3D film. Kristen Meinzer of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast and Megan McArdle with The Atlantic. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Alice in Wonderland, if you answered that on our Facebook page, you got it. That was pretty smart. I guessed Avatar, too. That sold so much. But you can get more of the Movie Date podcast. Kristen and Newsday critic Rafer Guzman debate the latest in films every week. That's at thetakeaway.org/moviedate. Earlier, we had a conversation about employers lobbying their employees in terms of political conversations, and we wanted to get your response.
Rich, Charlottesville, what baloney that employers have undue influence that unions don't have on the members. If anyone watched what happened in Madison, the opposite is obviously true. Those state employees march to the beat of the union, not to the state that employs them. They have much more influence over their members.
Give us your response at 8778-MY-TAKE or at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee. John Hockenberry's on assignment. He'll return Monday. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information at knightfoundation.org and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.